Well, it's about to get a lot stupider.
That's it.
There's only one place to begin.
Oh, what's this one?
You're high.
You want to see a fight? It's going to happen.
Do you want to change my mind on that, Jeff Saturday?
Heck yeah, I want to change your mind.
I'm wondering if you're not high.
Jeff, you're high.
Point blank, period.
Stop, collaborate, and listen.
Curse, 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 curse.
Help me help you.
Our producer, Allie, is yelling at me like you wouldn't believe.
Put a sock in it already, okay?
Is Chicago a playoff team in the NFC in your mind, Marcus Spears?
Hell no.
Marcus Spears says, hell no. Jeff Saturday is ready to hand out some pancakes this morning. I might have gone for too big a bite there.
That thing was absolutely incredible. I loved it all the way around.
Marcus, are you okay?
I'm not.
Stop asking me if I want to play for the Jets. The Jets stink like rotten meat.
You don't want to go play for that broken winged bird that is the Jets.
I think this is the most upset the underlings have gotten the boss man since Billy Ray Valentine and Lewis Winthrop went at Randolph and Mortimer Duke.
That was Trading Places, by the way. I finally got a reference on a Wednesday on the show.
Every good story needs a surprise ending.
Ah, what a fun week we have had here, and delighted that you are with us as we continue on this Football Friday. Bart Scott is here. He can't wait for all the NFL action this weekend. Diana, again, the news from the Giants was good today, super quickly.
News. Yep, no positive COVID-19 test today for New York.
So that means their game looking good for Monday night against the Buccaneers. We are coming to you live, as always, from the Seaport District at Pier 17. We're brought to you by Heineken, and we are busy. Here we go. It is time to get up with our developing news. The best player in college football has tested positive for the coronavirus. We have the very latest covered all morning long. Meanwhile, the NFL weekend kicks off with the Falcons getting a win. Is there any chance it was a swan song for their two most famous players? And the biggest and best game of this weekend means everything to the biggest star on the field. We'll tell you why and much more as we get up with you starting right now. And we begin with our developing story. Superstar Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence has tested positive for the coronavirus. He will miss this Saturday's game against Boston College. He is currently isolating with mild symptoms. Here is what Lawrence posted on Twitter yesterday. His statement says, I have tested positive for COVID-19. My symptoms have been relatively mild. While I'm following the protocol from Clemson and the ACC, the only thing that hurts is missing an opportunity to be with my teammates this weekend and play the game I love. I hate that I can't be there, but I'll be watching from isolation and pulling for our guys while I wait for the opportunity to rejoin the team. God bless and go Tigers. Our college football panel is with us again this morning. Heather Dinich, our insider, and Paul Feinbaum and David Pollack. And again, for those just joining us, Heather, let's run through the protocols here in the ACC. What specifically are the rules surrounding what happens with Trevor Lawrence now?
So Trevor Lawrence went into isolation on Thursday, but the 10-day clock for that begins at the onset of his symptoms, which we don't know, and Clemson couldn't say yesterday. So when he comes back remains to be seen. When he can come back also depends on if he clears cardiac testing, and the Clemson medical team will have to determine whether or not he's healthy enough and ready to play after spending 10 days at least in isolation. He also has to be fever-free, symptom-free for 24 hours before he comes back. So whether or not he can play against Notre Dame remains a question.
Yeah, and then again, the Notre Dame game is a week from tomorrow. We just had Dr. Myron Roll on the show about a half hour ago, Heather, and he suggested he would not be comfortable with Lawrence playing a game that quickly. So that brings into play the difference in the Big Ten protocols versus the ACC protocols. Yes, if he was a Big Ten player, this wouldn't even be worthy of discussion.
No, and that is the significant difference. Players in the Big Ten cannot return sooner than 21 days, and this is exactly why. Their doctors and team physicians say there needs to be a return-to-play progression. So much like Trevor Lawrence, after they isolate for 10 days, they go through the cardiac testing. But the difference in the Big Ten is they say, okay, you start with light to moderate exercise, and then you gradually increase until you are game ready. Will Clemson's medical staff agree with that and hold him out a little bit longer, or will they put him right back on the field? I don't know the answer to that.
Well, again, the game against Notre Dame, which is a week from tomorrow, is one of the biggest games of the college football season. So, David Pollack, let me come to you. Just purely from a football standpoint, assess for us the chances that Clemson beats BC without its quarterback and then that it beats Notre Dame without its quarterback.
I think they can definitely beat BC without Trevor Lawrence. Listen, Trevor Lawrence, Clemson, Deshaun Watson, the quarterback lineage is pretty proven because they get elite quarterbacks. That's something they do exceptionally well. And they have another one on their roster. He's not going to be Trevor Lawrence, but DJ Uiagalelei is a stud. He's a big, strong kid. He's 6'4", almost 250 pounds. He can really, really run the football. You think about him and Travis Etienne will be enough to beat Boston College. Now you go play Notre Dame. This will be a different story. It's in South Bend. Ian Book, all the experience against a defense that suffocated him several years ago in the playoffs. I think that becomes a game that you go, this isn't Clemson being heavily favored like you would normally see. But Clemson is in a great spot because Clemson recruits great, especially at the quarterback spot as well as anybody over the last several classes, over the last six, seven, 8 years.
So, Paul, size this up for me here. Assuming that Clemson does take care of business tomorrow and beats Boston College, then how would you view, as we would lead up to that game with Notre Dame, if Lawrence doesn't play, the significance of that game and what would it mean going forward?
Greeny, you have to look at the Notre Dame game as the first of perhaps two Clemson-Notre Dame games. Remember, Notre Dame is in the ACC for this season only. So if Notre Dame continues to its path and runs the table and Clemson only has one hiccup, then very likely they will meet again in the ACC title game. Should Clemson come back and win that game and they lose next week, I think the College Football Playoff Committee would probably take both of them, almost definitely take both of them, because they would have proven to be two of the best teams in the country. So as important as next week is, and yes, it's going to be the most watched game we have seen in college football in a long time, it may not mean very much.
So take two of them. I mean, you definitely perked my eyebrows up with that, because taking two of them means only taking one from the SEC, one would assume, because you have, you know, Ohio State lurking out there. So we'd be talking about that kind of situation here, Paul, in your opinion.
Yeah, and you can argue a thousand times about Alabama and Georgia. Georgia is struggling right now. They didn't look good against Alabama, and they still have to deal with Florida next week. So that's not a guarantee. But I think it's pretty a safe bet that Clemson, assuming that Lawrence either gets back for the game or gets back pretty soon afterwards, pretty good bet that Notre Dame and Clemson are going to continue on this path. So I think it's right now a slightly better odds of those two getting in than maybe Alabama and Georgia.
Fair. And so, Heather, just take us back through this historically. What has the College Football Playoff Committee done historically regarding injured players? How have they viewed that with teams that have played big games without star players?
Greeny, we saw it with Trevor Lawrence in 2018. He got knocked out of the game with what appeared to be a head injury against Syracuse. Chase Brice comes in. They win a close game. Now, it didn't impact them that season because they went on to finish in the top four. They won that game. But they considered that, and they did. And I talked to CFP Executive Director Bill Hancock last night, and he said that the selection committee will continue to discuss player availability in its deliberations. And the protocol, as you mentioned, specifically says injuries. And he said to me, we need to change that word because it's more about availability than necessarily injuries, because they also talk about suspensions, disqualifications, whatever reason a player might not be in the game.
And so, bottom line, David Pollack, in your opinion, and no one lives in this more than you do, are Notre Dame and Clemson two of the best four teams in the country?
Clemson is. Notre Dame's got a lot to prove before that point. And Paul said, you know, Notre Dame's looked more consistent. I watched him play Louisville a couple weeks ago. I didn't see that. So I think Notre Dame still throughout the season has a lot to prove. And they'll have some some challenges on their schedule where they can absolutely do that. But I don't think it's through the first, you know, six, seven, 8 weeks of the season that I would say Notre Dame's one of the top four teams in the country.
Okay, outstanding. All of you, thank you so much for the insight here. We'll continue to follow this all day long. Huge news from college football. Meanwhile, the NFL's weekend kicked off last night. Atlanta, Carolina, Bart Scott, Teddy Bridgewater, and the Panthers hosting the Falcons, and he was hot early. Second quarter, already up 7-6. They got a little tricky play working here, and then a touchdown to Curtis Samuel.
Oh, I love the imagination coming back with the old flea flicker. He put it right in the bread basket where only his guy can catch it. I love the comeback story of Teddy Bridgewater. Two receivers in the top 10. He's pushing the ball down the field and changing the narrative, Green.
Look at that sneak in there just beyond the fingertips of Ricardo Allen. Curtis Samuel, the second touchdown of the day. Carolina up 14-6. But Matt Ryan showing you the wheels at the age of 35.
And the words of Forrest Gump, everywhere I was going, I was running.
He runs it in. That cuts it to 14-13. They would kick a field goal before halftime, so they're up by two. Now here's the terrible play of the night. Teddy Bridgewater, look at the hit.
Yeah, we got to take this out of the game. It's one thing to be tough, and you see his teammates doing what they're supposed to do, doing what, you know, the Dallas Cowboys should have done. That's protecting their quarterback. Not a better guy in the league than Teddy Bridgewater. What he's come from, for somebody to take a cheap shot on him like that is has to get out of the game. He should have been ejected, Green.
He was. And Charles Harris was ejected. Teddy Bridgewater would go out for a while but would return. Meanwhile, Todd Gurley scored a touchdown. He didn't mean to last week. This time, he means to, and that knocks it in there, 25-17. But they missed the kick, so it's a one-possession game. And you know Atlanta has blown these leads all year long. Could it happen again? That's the question, and the answer is no. That's Bridgewater being intercepted at the end by Bleedy Ray Wilson. And so it is the Falcons who hold on and win one by a score of 25-17. And so as we sort of consider the situation now, this is a team that for the second straight year has dug itself a hole so deep it can't dig its way back into a playoff chase. So with the trade deadline coming up on Tuesday, any chance that we hear some big, big names on the move out of Atlanta?
Stuff can always happen, but I do not get the sense that they're going to be moving on from Matt Ryan and Julio Jones because of their contracts. This would put them in a really bad situation in terms of their salary cap. Come next year, though, this could be a different conversation where they could be looking at. And I know you think they should move Julio, but no team is going to want to take all that money and have to deal with that cap hit.
Well, it's one thing to think that the Ravens could use Julio. It's another thing for a deal to be made. But quickly, you're saying next year. So you mean an off-season situation where maybe both those guys are on the move?
Oh, absolutely. But the tone so far over the last 2 weeks about this, because there's been a lot of pressure on Atlanta that perhaps they need to make this move, knowing that they're not having a very good season here. They've kept the same message here, which is they want to stay with Matt Ryan and Julio. But next year, that can work out to be a better situation for them financially.
And let's see where they wind up in the draft. As we continue, coming up, the frightening numbers that will have you asking the question, why on earth would the Dolphins decide to have Tua make his debut against Aaron Donald? We're talking about that. And then this, why Sunday showdown with Big Ben and the Steelers maybe the most important of Lamar Jackson's career. All that and more on a Football Friday. Get up on ESPN. Back on Get Up. And finally, this weekend, after so much anticipation, it is Tua time in the NFL. Dolphins and Rams at Alabama. Pressure was arguably Tua's only kryptonite. In 2019, he completed just 48% of his passes when he was pressured. And that means this is a factor because he's going up against the Rams and Aaron Donald, who are sixth in the league in pass rush win rate. The Dolphins, meanwhile, have the third worst pass blocking win rate in the NFL. And of course, it means Aaron Donald, who is about the scariest player in the National Football League, four quarterbacks to have to face. And so for the first time this morning, we are delighted to welcome into our conversation Mark Sanchez, the quarterback of our team, who's with us here with RC and Bart Scott. And you know, Mark, it has been in so many ways so long since we've seen Tua in a game because of the injury. You put together some tape to remind us of just what makes him so good. Let's see it.
I did, and you know me, Greeny, I'm always going to advocate for the quarterback, but these two plays are going to show you why I don't trust those stats all the time. But you're going to see his pocket presence, and you're going to see his eyes. So look at him. He understands that running back's going to have a huge collision running right across his face there, but he doesn't panic. He doesn't get happy feet. He just moseys on up in the pocket. Most importantly, when he does that, he stays calm with his feet and keeps his eyes up on the defense and anticipates where Jerry Jeudy's going to slam on the brakes and he throws him a strike. The next thing he does in the red zone, which is so deadly and decisive, I don't know if we're going to get that play, but if we don't, it's all good. What he does is he's able to process so quickly these quick short corner routes and these short slant routes from the outside, and he is just deadly in the red zone. He can beat you. And listen, all he's got to do is rely on those skills that made him such a good college quarterback. Don't worry about Aaron Donald and all these scary players that RC is going to tell us about on defense.
No question, but quickly, Mark, to you, because this was you once. You were a rookie, and you were starting your very first game. So when you're going up against NFL defense, and there's a guy like Aaron Donald on the other side, I mean, we are making a big deal out of it. As the quarterback, how big a deal should we be making out of it?
Oh, listen, it is a big deal, and I can't lie to you. I would give a quick little glance to the other side during warm-ups and think like, man, that guy's pretty big and pretty fast.
All right, baby, we got to be real fast today. Start talking to my feet and start talking to my own self. Just giving that positive self-talk. Like, you got to be quick today, baby.
So, RC, as he mentions, Tua going up against Aaron Donald. Give us a sense of what the game plan should be for keeping Tua on his feet.
Listen, Aaron Donald was the first original alien baby because he's that good. He's that talented. He's that different. And Tua has to understand that. Tua has to know coming into this game, I have to get the ball out of my hands. But also think back to the San Francisco 49ers a couple of weeks ago where we barely heard Aaron Donald's name. It's because Kyle Shanahan game planned him. Jimmy G got the ball out of his hands. Thanks, Himbo. Under 2.4 seconds that game. That's the lowest he's ever gotten the ball out of his hands. That's the type of things Tua has to do. He has to have a quick release. He has to get it out of his hand with anticipation and use that accuracy that made him so good at Alabama. But this is also going to be on the coaching staff. Move the pocket, double team, run the football. Find ways to make Aaron Donald think, because if you let him pin his ears back and come after your young quarterback, it's going to be a very long day. And think about the game against the Chicago Bears. It wasn't just Aaron Donald. It was Floyd. It was Rapp. It was Brockers. They moved people around to get pressure. This is going to be a tough start for Tua Tagovailoa.
They had four sacks Monday night in the game you're talking about. Some will say, Bart, why would you start him in his first game against Aaron Donald? What do you say to that?
Because in this league, you can't hide quarterbacks from everybody. Everybody has a guy. Before, you know, Aaron Donald was the scariest man on the planet. J.J. Watt was the scariest man on the planet. You know, then it was Von Miller. Then it was DeMarcus Ware. It's always another guy. You have to start the process of getting this guy some experience. You have to start building that continuity with his teammates. You have to understand that, kid, you're going to always go about a good guy. But you got to understand, be able to do the little things. And listen, in Eric Flowers, I trust. We're going to see if Eric Flowers can step up and be able to shut Aaron Donald down. That's a joke.
And just a quick final thought.
If that was a joke, Bart. I was going to be so mad at you.
Yeah, what?
Sanchez, do you expect him to play well immediately? Because this is a team that has won consecutive games and is in a playoff race. And no matter how much people want to diminish that, they are in a playoff race. Do you expect him to play well immediately?
I expect him to get a ton of pressure today, especially after you give out stats like that, on Sunday. But I think he'll do fine, and part of that is because they're going to have repped a lot of these plays for 2 weeks straight. I think he's going to have a fast start, and that's important for his confidence. So he's going to have run those plays multiple times against multiple looks that they're expecting, and he'll be in a calm state to start the game. Then who knows what happens in that third quarter.
Well, and for what it's worth, the Rams are playing on a short week. They played on Monday Night Football. And if the Bills should lose to the Patriots and the Dolphins win this game, I don't care what anybody says, they're tied for first place. I know you want to diminish it, but they will be tied for first in the division. We will see. Coming up, the season is on the line Sunday for Cam Newton. But he's not the most important Patriot on the field. RC will tell you who is as we continue. And then, just how big is this Steeler-Raven showdown for Lamar Jackson? Our group will tell you why. It might just be the biggest game he's had so far. All that and more on the way. This Football Friday, get up on ESPN. Back on Get Up, 54-year-old Mike Tyson fighting 51-year-old Roy Jones Jr. in an exhibition bout next month. Here's the pre-fight press conference.
My mindset is totally bliss. This is something I've done all my life since I was 13 years old. I'm more evolved now than I've ever been. My objective is to go in there with the best intentions of my life to, you know, to disable my opponent. And that's just what it is.
And that's just what it is. Meanwhile, our next fight night is back in Vegas on Halloween. What could be his farewell UFC legend Anderson Silva. Among the fights, the prelim starts tomorrow, 4 Eastern, with the main card at 7 on ESPN Plus in English and in Spanish. Meanwhile, coming up, the latest on our developing story, Trevor Lawrence in quarantine after testing positive for COVID-19. What does it mean? We'll ask Reese Davis and Tim Tebow next. Get up on ESPN.
Don't forget to vote on Election Day, November 3rd. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
We are back on Get Up on a Football Friday. Diana Russini, a bunch of news and notes. Let's go.
Yeah, finally some good news for the New Orleans Saints. Michael Thomas, who has not played since week one, back at practice on Thursday. We know he dealt with two separate injuries, that high ankle sprain, then he tweaked his hamstring, then he had a little discipline issue there. But back out on the field, obviously Drew Brees needs his number one receiver out there as they get ready to travel to Chicago to face the Bears. Meantime, the Dallas Cowboys, we all saw that brutal hit, as you're seeing right there, against Andy Dalton. He is still in concussion protocol. As of now, the Cowboys do not feel good that he will get that start against the Eagles. JMU's Ben DiNucci, the rookie quarterback who spoke with Dak Prescott, who Dak's advice was, look, man, it's just football. Go out there. I mean, what's he going to say at this point with just a few days as he gets ready to play the Eagles? So Andy Dalton's still in concussion protocol. And finally, good news for the New York Giants today. All COVID-19 tests came back negative for the team. We knew yesterday that the offensive linemen were all told to leave to quarantine because one player did test positive. Well, today they're all back in the building. They will be practicing, meeting virtually, of course, as they prepare for Monday Night Football against Tom Brady and the Bucks.
But again, the good news there, it would appear that game should be able to go off as scheduled, at least based on what we know right now.
Yeah, this is great news that no positive test came back today. That was obviously, today was a big factor in what was going to happen for Monday.
Yeah, it's the second straight week we've had the offensive line that we've dealt with. It was Vegas last week. Now the Giants again. The news there seems to be good. Meanwhile, speaking of COVID, back to our developing story, and that is Clemson quarterback Trevor Lawrence, the number one college football player in the country, has tested positive. He will miss this Saturday's game against Boston College as he is isolating with mild symptoms. They will play Notre Dame next week, a week from tomorrow, in what is one of the biggest games of the entire college football season. His status for that is uncertain. Reese Davis and Tim Tebow join us early this morning. Guys, thanks for getting up. And Reese, let's start there. How would you assess, for the fans who were just waking up this morning, the significance of this happening for Trevor Lawrence and Clemson right now?
It's a huge deal, Greeny, with Notre Dame on the horizon, and Clemson is still seeking absolute clarity for when Trevor could come back. But this much seems certain. Even if he is has an extra day in there, because the ACC policy starts to count from the onset of symptoms, he will practice little, if at all, going into the Notre Dame game, assuming that he handles this virus as well as most young people his age do and is able to be symptom-free and clear the virus and able to play. But he wouldn't have any practice time to speak of leading into Notre Dame. I think that's one issue. And the other one is, what's the contact tracing situation with Clemson as a result of Trevor's positive test? Will it impact other players? I think they can get by Boston College on Saturday with their backup DJ Uiagalelei. But, he's a five-star guy too. But long-term, they need Trevor Lawrence back at the helm.
Yes, and clearly, first and foremost, his health is the most important thing. But we'll talk about the football element from it here. And so, Tim, I have two questions. The first is, do you believe that Clemson can beat Notre Dame next week if they should have to without Trevor Lawrence?
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season.
Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Well, first of all, let me just say, Reese, that was an amazing job at pronouncing DJ's last name. I'm not even going to try. I'm just going to say that he's incredibly talented. And yes, I do think that Clemson has a shot if Trevor doesn't play. I really do. Listen, this team is stacked. They have so many great players. And this is what Dabo excels in. He excels in the different. He excels in when our back's against the wall. He excels in BYOG. Like, I'm not going to put it past him. By the way, Notre Dame hasn't been super consistent. I think Notre Dame has been ranked really high because they're also named Notre Dame. I think they have the chance to be really good. And last week, they played a complete game. But 2 weeks ago, they didn't look like a top 10 team to me. So I think Clemson can win with their backup quarterback. He's extremely talented. He's been very poised. And they got a great defense. Brent Venables is one of the best defensive coordinators in the country. He confuses the crap out of quarterbacks. I think Clemson absolutely has a chance without Trevor.
All right, in the meantime, let me then ask you this. Having played the position at the highest level yourself, and Reese just mentioned it, if Trevor Lawrence is clear to play in that game next week, but has had basically no practice time and has been, for the most part, quarantined for the previous 10 days, do you think he could play well enough to help his team win, or would they be best suited staying with the backup in that circumstance?
Yes, I think he could play because he could do everything virtually. He could be able to practice virtually, to be able to get mental reps, to be able to go through, to get all the game plans, to have a whiteboard, to be able to write everything out. He might not be able to physically go through it, but he could get a lot of mental reps. And you know, if his symptoms, you know, I saw that they were mild, and hopefully that he gets better and is able to get back. If there are no symptoms, then maybe he can even, you know, work on different parts of the game plan virtually. I think he's got so many reps. We're talking about probably the most experienced quarterback in the country right now. He's played in two national championship games, so I think he could bounce back really fast to be able to play.
All right, now, Reese, let's spin it then to a different place here. No one knows the inner workings of the College Football Playoff Committee better than you do. What does history tell us about the way they would evaluate a Clemson team if, and we don't know that any of this will happen, but if they should lose to Notre Dame without Trevor Lawrence on the field, what would that mean in your mind for their chances?
I think it would all depend, Greeny, on what would happen in an ACC championship game, which likely in that situation would be a rematch between the two. I think they would treat it as they would any injury, a key player missing. What's the team look like now that they have him back? And would Clemson be able to avenge that loss? I agree with Tim. I think Clemson can win with or without Trevor. But if they were to lose, I think the committee would just look at it as they would with any other team, with a key player missing. Is he back? Is he available? It's not that you eliminate or ignore the loss. It's just that you mitigate it due to the circumstances.
That could be a really interesting scenario. Paul Feinbaum saying earlier this morning there's a real path to both Clemson and Notre Dame winding up in the playoff if things should go that way. And guys, quickly, before I let you go, and I so appreciate it, I want to bring RC into the conversation as well. Our friend, our colleague, our teammate, Desmond Howard, announced yesterday that he has tested positive for COVID-19. Reese, I know he's going to be on College Game Day tomorrow. He's going to do it from his home. But I think it would be the right thing for all of us just to send a shout out. Reese, what do you have to say to your buddy Desmond?
Man, we're excited to have 21 on. I'm glad that he's feeling well enough to be able to be on. And he's He's a tough, strong guy, huge part of our team, and I'm glad that he's doing well so far from the last time I talked to him. So we hope he's back to 100% in no time.
Tim, you got a shout-out for Desmond Howard?
I would just say, Des, man, know that we're praying for you. We wish you a speedy recovery, and I can't wait to see that smile that always lights up the room.
And RC, we know we need him back on Wednesday, that's for sure.
Hey, Des, man, we missed you on Wednesday, bro. We are praying for you. Listen, we know you're going to pull through this thing. We know that you're a strong man, but we want you to take care of yourself first, and we'll be waiting for you when you get back on Wednesday, brother.
It's well said. Desmond Howard, again, all of our best from all of Amen. Us at ESPN to our friend and our teammate. Guys, thank you very much. Reese and Tim Tebow, thank you both for getting up early here. And I will mention that College Game Day is live tomorrow, and they are at the huge game in State College. It's Ohio State. It's Penn State. They're live tomorrow morning starting 9 a.m. Eastern and taking you through all the way until we have that game for you on ABC tomorrow night. Okay, jumping back to the NFL as we do here. Let's put some teams on the clock here before we do want everyone to say something here. So let's get everybody involved in this, and we're going to take a look at these games. RC, let's start with Patriots, Bills. Who is the most important player on the field, RC?
It's not a player. The most important person in this game is Bill Belichick. He's the GOAT. He's the guy that we attribute all of this New England Patriots success to. Okay, now show us. Show us what you can do when the rosters aren't stacked in your favor. Show us what you can do when your backs are against the wall. And this is the time for Bill Belichick to show us why he is the greatest coach the NFL has ever seen. Special teams has to play. Defense has to play. And you better find a way to move the ball offensively. Bill, we are expecting you to come out with the GOAT hat on. We are expecting you to show us why you are the most important piece to this game. And we're expecting you to show us that you can do it without Tom Brady. Let's see it happen.
Yeah, it's a fascinating game in many ways. If they lose this game, they will be functionally 3.5 games out in the AFC East. The last time they were there was the year before Tom Brady became their starting quarterback. Next is Bart, Steelers, Ravens. Who's the most important player on the field? Go.
I don't know about the most important player. What I want to know is about who's going to introduce themselves to the country. Who's going to be that unsung hero? We expect the stars to be the stars whenever these two Goliaths go against each other. But who's going to dare to be great and going to say, hey, I'm going to be on the game plan next year? Can it be Patrick Queen? I can't wait to see this matchup for this rivalry if Patrick Queen and Devin Bush is going to be having that argument about who's the best. Like the argument we used to have with Polamalu and Ed Reed, who's the best? Whether it was James Harrison, whether it was Terrell Suggs, who's the best? Whether it's Casey Hampton or Haloti Ngata, who's the best? That's what I love this rivalry. Who's going to introduce themselves to the country and say, I'm the next one up? That's what I wanted to see.
It's the only rivalry where all we compare are the defensive players, by the way. You notice that? Like,
well, Jerome Bennett and Jamal Lewis. Who's the best?
That is the uniqueness of that rivalry. It's not who's better, Brady or Peyton. It's who's better. The safeties are the ones that we're comparing. All right, back to the quarterback here. Sanchez, Cowboys, Eagles, most important player in the game. Go.
Go figure. I'm going to pick a quarterback again, Greeny, and it's Carson Wentz. If I'm Doug Peterson, I'm looking him eye to eye. We're going to sit down, have a little come to Jesus meeting and say, listen, we're going to drive this thing on the far right side of the road, stay in the right lane, 50 miles an hour max, and that's going to be more than enough to beat the dismal Dallas Cowboys. They are so bad right now. All they have to do is steady down the road. Let his players make plays. Rager, Rodgers at tight end, and Bostic. Bostic works out with RC, so you know he's a baller, and he's going to be plenty of playmaker to beat the Dallas Cowboys. Just don't mess this thing up. Two hands in the pocket. Say uncle. If it's not open, if it's even close, chuck it in the seventh row.
Say uncle.
And hit one of your Eagles fans. It doesn't matter. The Cowboys will find a way to ruin this game.
It's actually a really interesting thought because that's the opposite of what we associate Carson Wentz with, generally speaking, and maybe he needs to go against type. Really well done. We'll take a break here. Much more to do on this Football Friday edition of Get Up as we go. Coming up, RC has a special fundamentalist for Halloween. Can you believe he found 5 scarier players than Patrick Mahomes? He did. We'll have that in a moment. But first, Bart Scott, Sneaky Hembo has one for you. Here's the question. Who has played the most games in the Ravens-Steelers rivalry? That's the question. The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN. This is our next MLS Soccer Sunday and Eastern Conference matchup for playoff positioning. Third place Columbus Crew host the first place Philadelphia Union. That's Sunday, 3:30 Eastern on ABC, ESPN Deportes, and on the ESPN app. Major League Soccer presented by Audi. And we are with you commercial-free for the next 14 minutes. Greeny and Get Up with you here. We are jam-packed on this Football Friday. First Take is coming up 14 minutes from now. We're with you commercial-free until then. And then when they take over, it's Cam and the Patriots out of the playoff race. If they lose this weekend against Buffalo, Stephen A. and Max will talk about that and much, much more. Again, they are 13 minutes away. Meanwhile, here's what we have for you. The fundamentalist on this Halloween Eve is the top five scariest players in the NFL. And Ryan Clark is ready to bring you those. RC, the floor is yours.
Listen, I know people are going to look at my list and think a totally different way than I do. But just like I said Wednesday, it's my list. And at number five is Ryan Jensen. And you're going to think to yourself, well, he's a center. He's not very big. He's just protecting Tom Brady. No, this dude is relentless. When I have an offensive lineman, I want him to lead the league in after-the-play penalties. I want a dude that's crazy enough to pick a fight with Aaron Donald. And that's what he did. He's absolutely relentless. He got red hair. He wear a red jersey. He is Freddy Krueger. He will not stop. He will haunt you in the daytime when you're sleeping. He will haunt you at night. Ryan Jensen is a monster, and that's why he's my number five player. At number four, I'm going with Buda Baker. I know what you're saying to yourself. He's a little guy. How can he be scary? You know who else became a little guy? Charles Lee Ray. You know why? Because he jumped into Chucky's body. Was people scared of Chucky? Hell yeah, they were, because Chucky would come after your tail and was nothing you could do about it. Throw him in the fire, he come back. Try to shoot him, he come back. And that's who Buda Baker is. 14 tackles last game. Oh, and he got caught by DK Metcalf, but we'll talk about him later. This is the dude that hits every single play, no matter how big, no matter how small you are, he is coming. And he is coming with the mindset that it's going to be you or him. And when you're a villain, when you're a horror story, you make sure it's going to be him. And at number three is George Kittle. If a dude is one of the top three tight ends, pass catcher tight ends in the league, and he says, I rather drive a dude under the field goal post on a touchdown run, that means that's a bad dude. That's the type of dude that hides in sewers, and when your little boat goes into the sewer, he opens up his freaking mouth and clamps down on you like Pennywise. That's who George Kittle is. He's going to kill you in the pass game, but in the run game, he will drive you under the bench. He doesn't want all the pretty stuff. And have you seen his new haircut, Greeny? If a dude got a haircut like that, that means he does not care. And DK Metcalf, I think it's self-explanatory. If you're a cornerback and all you want to do is sit out here, catch interceptions and cover people, when this alien walks up to the line, you have to feel like Sigourney Weaver in 1979. You know why Sigourney Weaver had to jump into that big machine to fight the alien? Because it's not human. DK Metcalf is not human. You're not that big. You're not that fast. You're not that versatile. You can't track a ball that way if you were born on this planet. DK Metcalf is something different. I know we've seen Julio Jones, we've seen T.O., we've seen Randy Moss, but we've never seen a specimen like this. And at number one, I'm not even sure why we had to do this list to get here. It's Aaron Donald. You know he's coming. It's like Jason Voorhees. We always knew that when you went to the camp, Jason Voorhees was going to be there, but yet you still go to the camp. Just like the Miami Dolphins, you know that this week, Jason Voorhees is going to be wearing number 99 for the Los Angeles Rams, but you still going to trot Tua Tagovailoa out there to that camp. And just like all the other people on Friday the 13th that went out there, he's going to stalk him, he's gonna walk him down, and when he gets there, it is game over. Aaron Donald, by far, is the scariest man that wears uniforms on Sunday mornings. I'm not talking about pastors, I'm not talking about preachers, I'm not talking about priests. It's Aaron Donald on a Sunday morning is the person you should be looking for.
Ryan Clark's five scariest players, but Mark Sanchez, I can't help but notice, and I'm sure you can't help but notice, there is one glaring omission, at least from a position group, on his list.
Hit that snooze button, RC.
Nobody's scared of him.
Hit the snooze button.
Nobody's scared
Patrick
of him.
Patrick Mahomes, baby.
Nobody's scared
you know
of him.
You're scared of Patrick Mahomes.
I'm not scared.
He's a straight
I'm not
up
scared.
Baller.
I'm haunts, not scared.
He haunts defensive coordinators' dreams. You know it.
RC, there's no quarterback who you would put on the five scariest players list?
Well, because here's the thing, Greeny. It's about your mindset. It's about your perspective. If you're going to throw a deep ball on me, I can live with that, right? But if you're going to ragdoll me like a little child, that's scary. If I'm going to catch an interception and you're going to hawk me down from 30 yards and you look like Debo and I look like Red running away from you, that's scary. If you're Ryan Jensen and I'm standing by the pile and you're going to jump over the pile and maybe spear me because you don't care about a flag, that's scary. You throw a no-look pass on me, guess what? You throw no-look passes on everybody. That's not embarrassing. That's not scary. There's no physical harm that comes from that. I'm not worried about that. What I'm worried about is a guy like Bart Scott, when I'm trying to catch a halfback angle that hits me right here in my forehead, and then after the game, it's freaking freezing, and he tells me that my defense couldn't stop a nosebleed. That's the type of people that scare me. I ain't worried about nobody throwing no passes.
As he said off the very beginning,
Bart's a teddy bear.
It's his list. It's his five scariest players. We have a lot more to do, but right now I know what you need. You need to know who's going to win all the games on Sunday. Time for my picks in 3, 2, 1. Colts, Lions. If Matt Stafford was on the other team, they might win the Super Bowl. Instead, neither is going to make the playoffs. 23-22 Detroit. Vikings, Packers, there is no bigger disappointment in the NFL than Minnesota. And Aaron Rodgers isn't known for his sympathy. 34-17, Green Bay. Pats, Bills, Belichick's last stand. The world has given up on New England, but I have not. Give me Bills Bunch 21-20 to keep their season alive. Jets, Chiefs, this is like one of those AAU games my son used to play in, where in the layup line I would think, why are these teams playing each other? They don't belong on the same field. I recommend a running clock, and Andy Reid has to call off the press. KC, 51-6. Rams, Dolphins, welcome to the league, Tua. Here's Aaron Donald. LA is better on both sides of the ball, 27-16 Rams. Saints, Bears, New Orleans has three quarterbacks on their roster. Who would start for Chicago? 29-17 Saints. Niners, Seahawks, Russell Wilson threw three picks last week. That won't happen again, maybe ever. Back on track in a rivalry game, 30-20 Seattle. Cowboys, Eagles, what happens when two bad teams play each other with absolutely everything at stake? Bet on the guys who look like they care. And Carson Wentz is great again. Fly, Eagles, fly, 17-6. Finally, Steelers, Ravens, Pittsburgh got the short end of the scheduling stick. Baltimore rested and ready for their rival. I still think the Steelers are the best team, but this is a tough spot. Give me the Ravens at home, 27-26. All right, and with that thought in mind, Bart Scott is here, and you know that rivalry as well as anybody. But here's the question for you from Hembo, Bart. Who has played the most games in the Ravens-Steeler rivalry?
Well, sneaky Hembo, I thought it's never as obvious, so Ben is too obvious, and Marshall Yanda, who played forever, would be too obvious. But I play with a guy that's still on the team. I'm going to go with punter Sam Koch.
That is not the answer. He
what?
Is one game away, and Terrell Suggs.
So this week he'll be number one.
Current players.
This week he will catch up. Koch is at 31.
He worked so hard on this.
Suggs
at 32. RC.
He's at 31.
RC, you would have loved this, by the way. As he was thinking through all the options, he was just naming Ravens. It's not like he didn't even know a Steelers name.
He was just so much turnover.
Still
we worked on it.
A lot of turnover.
We have been waiting all morning long to get into this game. And let us start with Diana, because for the second straight week, you were covering the game of the weekend. You've got Steelers, Ravens. What's the number one thing you're watching for in this matchup?
I feel part of this loss here. I'm really looking forward to seeing this Steelers defense try to figure out a way to continue to slow Lamar Jackson. We've been talking about this all show, that this Ravens offense does not look like the offense we saw last year. They're averaging 10 yards less a drive than they were last season. He's getting sacked almost double the amount of times he was last year. So they still have a lot of issues they have to figure out. And then we've been talking about as well, options on the outside, his receivers. He doesn't have any studs. We know he loves the tight end, but you know the Steelers defense is just going to contain him and keep him in the middle and force him to throw outside.
And this is, of course, a game that is a little bit about strategy. But Ryan Clark, you were telling us in the meeting this morning, it's about a lot more than that. How would you describe the way this game is different from any other game?
I've been telling people, I told people for years that I prepared for every game the same. And I did, as far as how I studied, how I worked. But the mindset you have to have coming into a Baltimore Ravens, Pittsburgh Steelers game is different. And you listen to Bart name who was better, Casey Hampton, Haloti Ngata. Was it going to be T. Sizzle or James on the outside, Ed or Troy? You were playing the other defense. This game was about physicality. If I saw Ray Lewis get a good hit, then that meant the next series I needed James Ferrier to go out and do the same thing. When Ray Lewis hits Rashard Mendenhall and breaks his shoulder, I think to myself, okay, now we got to go out and we got to inflict the same type of pain on him. There were dudes who you didn't even think were tough people who showed up and were tough on nights that you had to play the Baltimore Ravens. And that's what this is about. And I felt like this series had gotten away from that. We wanted to be pretty. We wanted to throw it to AB. You wanted to give it to Le'Veon. You wanted to give Joe Flacco $100 million and prove to the world he deserved it. No, now it's back to what it needs to be. You strap up your chin strap. You make sure it's extra tight. You get in the weight room on Friday because it's going to be a slobber knocker. It's going to be snot bubbles. Somebody's going to get carted off, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Because that's what you sign up for when you sign up for this. I wouldn't want it any other way. I cannot wait to see people plant their feet, come downhill, and not stop until they run through something or until they get ran through.
How about you, Bart?
I tell you what, you hit everything moving. Nobody gets a pass. You pay $200 pass and go. I don't care who you are. You stand next to a pile, you get clipped. You standing next to somebody. Listen, I remember trying to fight Bill Cowher on the sideline. I didn't care. It's like you hate everything. You know, Terrell Suggs, T. Sizzle brains off the screw Pittsburgh jerks. It was like one of those things. I can remember Ben Roethlisberger getting his nose twisted by Haloti Ngata. Did he leave? Did he go get plastic surgery? No, he packed his nose up and kept playing. How he could breathe, I had no idea. But this is about body blows. It's about the tougher team wins. It's about let's go inside the trenches and let's see who's strong enough. This flat-footed, toe for toe. This is Drago versus Rocky. This is about who wants it more. It's about who can inflict pain and willing to take the pain longer.
The Steelers better be Drago.
You get hit.
Go ahead, Ryan. We're just staying here. We're not getting to anything else. Go ahead, Ryan. Go.
Remember Joey Porter and Ray Lewis are trying to fight at the bus? They had a fight trying to fight at the bus. Come on off the bus. I want everybody. I want all the smoke. That's what this game is about.
Listen, you welcome, NFL.
You welcome.
Mark Sanchez, who's going to win this game this weekend? Let's make picks. Finish it with picks.
Listen.
Baltimore-Pittsburgh, who you got?
I'm going to let these guys fight it out in the phone booth. But listen, the one stat that I appreciate Hembo for is the Ravens are averaging third down in yards to gain. It's third and eight, man. That's too long. The Steelers are going to pound them this week. They don't have enough juice in Baltimore.
Ooh. Mark, you're dead to me.
Bart, I got Diana to pick the game because she's covering it. Bart, who you got?
Listen, I hope the Steelers win so the Ravens can go out and make a move for a big receiver, just pay Ronnie Stanley. That's not going to be enough. Lamar needs weapons. Go get him some.
RC, who's going to win?
Oh, this is going to be the Pittsburgh Steelers. And if I went any other way, I wouldn't be able to go back to Heinz Field. Pittsburgh finds a way to win. This defense dominates. Big Ben makes the plays offensively he needs to and protects the ball. Pittsburgh by four.
This should be a lot of fun. Diana will be there to cover it again. The news out of the Giants is good today, so that game is on. The latest on Trevor Lawrence as we continue. Thanks for getting up with us. We'll see you Monday. First Take starts now.